The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 Eastern Time, Sunday, November 1st, 2020, Day of the Dead for some of you. And thanks for joining us for the Fear of the Walking Dead and World Beyond online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. We are in a Fear and World Beyond doubleheader season through at least Thanksgiving. But yes, those of you good at math, the number of episodes don't neatly line up with one another. So we'll keep you posted how this wraps up at the midseason. Welcome to the doubleheader of Season 6, Episode 4 of Fear, and Season 1, Episode 5 of World Beyond. Season 6 of Fear will do the split season tradition, airing Episodes 1 through 7 from tonight through November 22nd. Episode 8 is rumored to be on Thanksgiving Sunday, but as of November 1st, is still not yet confirmed. And I have mentioned several times on previous shows that I suspect this may be a situation much like the finale of Season 10 of Walking Dead Classic, where there was a setback in timing due to the quarantine and not being able to do certain things in a timely manner. I don't know that for sure, but that's my guess. Because it's not typical for them not to announce the midseason finale, so that's why I suspect something is afoot at the Circle K. So the back half premiere dates also have not been announced, you know, the second half. For now, we assume the back half of Fear and possibly the Walking Dead Classic, the 6 mini episodes that they're going to tack on at the end of Season 10, will either start in February or April of 2021, likely again doing a doubleheader with one of the other shows. We're not at all yet clear how Season 2 of World Beyond fits into any of this. And in 2022, there will be a fourth series coming, a spinoff with Carol and Daryl, which of course spoils that they make it out of at least Season 10, if not 11. The untitled fourth series will be an episodic roadshow style story and might involve prequels for some beloved characters now gone. Since tonight's show is a doubleheader, we will run an hour longer than usual until about 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We may end our show by 10:30 if another show immediately follows us. Also, The Talking Dead will not air again until November 22nd. Now, I do have a tiny update. It's not prepared yet because I saw it literally about 10 minutes ago upstairs on my laptop. But I saw some kind of some babble about how AMC Plus, the pay version, is doing a thing where they're running The Talking Dead on the Friday after an episode. So in other words, we have our episode tonight. So rather than having Talking Dead afterwards, they're going to do it next Friday for free, but supposedly right afterwards on AMC Plus. I apologize that I don't have more concrete data for you guys, but I wanted to put it on your radar that The Talking Dead appears to be sort of kind of coming back early, but it's ham-fisted and weird, and I don't know the details, and I will try to find out more. Typically, we start this show a half hour before the new episode, airs live every week with recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then rate the episode so far from 1 to 10, and give commentary during the commercial breaks. We'll also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. I'm going to check in the chat room real quick. Joan is here with us. Let me go ahead and greet her while I have an opportunity. We always appreciate when some of our regular listeners are able to join us live in the chat room. That's always kind of fun. So anyway, our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314. You're welcome to call in anytime during the show, but I encourage you especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you call during the live episode after 9, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break when we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in a live chat room. You'll be able to listen to the show real time, as well as go back and download the episode after the fact. And we usually post the links for that on our Facebook page and sometimes my Twitter if I remember to get to it. So if you're unable to join us in real time at any evening, you're welcome to go to the link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. All righty. So, tonight's episode of Fear is entitled The Key. The official AMC synopsis is, John is settling in as one of Virginia's rangers when a mysterious death sends him on an investigation that makes him question everything he thought about himself. And as we typically do, although I have shortened this, we have an extended synopsis from elsewhere on the web, pardon my hiccups, which I have grabbed for you guys, and I'm pulling up now. This is from one of our favored sites for extra material on the show. Pardon. Fear the Walking Dead World Beyond new episodes previewed. This is on comicbook.com, and it's by Brandon Davis, who is one of their regular writers about the show. And Brandon has to say, Fear the Walking Dead will be airing the third episode of its sixth season, with The Walking Dead World Beyond airing the fourth episode of its first season. No, that's got to be wrong, guys. This is like last week. No. Okay, I apologize. My link is for last synopsis. It did not pick up the link for the one I'm looking for. Let me put in the title. If you guys can bear with me for just about 2 minutes, let me shove this in Google, because I did get the title, but the URL did not save correctly. So if I get the title and I shove it in there, I should be able to get the actual article that I'm trying to refer to. Here we go. That's much better. That's a different link than what I had up. I apologize for that little snafu. I have been a little more pressed for time in putting these together for you guys, because I am doing them for 2 episodes every week instead of 1. And it's been a bit rough keeping up with that, I have to be honest with you. So anyhow, this week is not from comicbook.com. It's from Fansided at undeadwalking.com, which is another one of our regular sources. And this one is Sarah Beth Pollock, another one of their regular writers. All right, so this one is about the correct episode. And Sarah Beth says, as the anthology format continues, this week's all-new episode of Fear the Walking Dead features John Dory and his quest to fit in among Virginia's people. But life isn't as easy as it looks. In The Key, John is faced with some tough decisions that could change everything. John Dory has found himself working for Virginia as one of her rangers. It's an honorable role, but after being separated from his friends and the woman he loves, can he ever truly fit in? The matter of a mysterious death in Lawton changes everything for John, and everything he held dear in the past is being threatened by decisions he must make to survive now. Can he overcome these obstacles and continue to toe the line? And that actually is it, except for a visual thing, which I obviously can't show you guys. So that will give you a rough idea what's going on. And I'm just going to check in with Joan real quick. She's been unusually quiet tonight. I just want to make sure the audio and everything is going cool. So let me go down to my notes and we will continue. It's 8:40. We've got about 20 minutes where I can discuss stuff and then we will keep going. So next up, as we usually do, writers and directors profiles. So tonight's episode of Fear is written by David Leslie Johnson and directed by Ron Underwood. All right, profiles. David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick his name changed professionally in the spring of 2018. Began writing plays in the second grade and wrote his first screenplay at age 19. Johnson attended Ohio State University in Columbus and graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Photography and Cinema. Currently, Johnson lives in Burbank with his wife, screenwriter Kimberly Lofstrom Johnson, and their son, Samuel. Johnson McGoldrick began his career as a production assistant on Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption, which was filmed on location in Johnson's hometown of Mansfield, Ohio, at the historic Mansfield Reformatory, where Johnson's great-grandfather had been a prison guard. Johnson spent the next 5 years as Darabont's assistant, using the opportunity to hone his craft as a screenwriter. He co-wrote the screenplay for the new Aquaman movie that came out in December 2018, which did so well that as of February 2019, he'd already been hired to pen the script for the Aquaman sequel, which is due out in 2022. I've checked IMDb, and that is still slated for 2022 at this time. Some things in his bio that I typically read to you guys, the dates have changed a little bit, and I did try to clean that up a bit as I was able to find stuff. So he's also listed as a main writer for the Nightmare on Elm Street, now 2021 reboot. It was 2020. They've moved it. Other future projects for Johnson include a Dungeons & Dragons movie slated for November 2021 and another remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Not too happy about that part. Not needed. Also slated for 2022. David has been involved with the Walking Dead franchise since 2011. He started as a writer during Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra, pretty old school. He's an OG, and has writer's credits for, 119 episodes, it's 12 episodes. 12 episodes of Walking Dead before tonight, the last previous one being Episode 9, 13, Squeeze. He also has story by and teleplay by credits for 2017 Season 8, Episode 5, The Big Scary You. He's been a consulting producer contiguously since Season 8 in 2017. Tonight is his 12th episode, written for the overall Walking Dead franchise, starting with The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra, 13th, if you count The Big Scary You. All right. There seems to be a couple of math problems with his bio, me trying to run around and convert all of these dates and such. Joan has said she can hear me okay, a couple glitches in the first couple of minutes, but working now, not going to jinx it. Okay, let me knock on laminate for some good luck, and hopefully that'll hold. All righty, let's get to director's profile. It's 8:43. Ronald Brian Underwood was born in Glendale, California. A director who is equally adept at working in television as well as features. Southern California native Ron Underwood has been making films since fifth grade and was winning Eastman Kodak Filmmaking Awards by the time he was in his teens. That's mildly funny considering the significance that Eastman has to this franchise because of Morgan. After graduating from University of Southern California, he completed a fellowship at the American Film Institute and then began his professional career in educational films. He directed more than 100 educational films before turning his attention to children's television. Underwood's ABC weekend special, The Mouse and the Motorcycle, ooh, I watched that one. I liked that one because I also liked the book. 1986, earned also a Peabody Award and an Emmy nomination. The director made his feature film debut in 1990 with the science fiction comedy Tremors. The film, which starred Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward, became a sleeper hit, spawning six sequels and a USA TV series. This success was followed with the blockbuster comedy City Slickers, starring Billy Crystal and Jack Palance. In addition to directing long-form films, Underwood has directed critically acclaimed television series, including Scandal, Once Upon a Time, Grey's Anatomy, The Good Fight, and many others. Underwood has some interesting starter credits as well, including being a PA on Westworld's 1976 sequel, Future World, first assistant director on 79 schlock horror movie, The Tourist Trap, producer for Tremors 2, Aftershock, and writer for Tremors 1, 2, 4, the video, and A Cold Day in Hell, 2018 video. It appears he did not work on Tremors 3 for reasons that were not mentioned in IMDb. I don't necessarily assume they're scandalous, but they're missing. Underwood has 58 director's credits back to 1980, including episodes of Monk, Boston Legal, Ugly Betty, Harry's Law, Burn Notice, Castle, Grey's Anatomy, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Once Upon a Time, and the Hawaii Five-O, Magnum P.I., and MacGyver Remix. Tonight marks his second time working in any capacity in the Walking Dead franchise, the first being directing Fear, Season 5, Episode 10, 210 words per minute. That's the one where they were in the mall and somebody was listening to audiobooks or some contraption. So those were them. Let's give them some applause. Thank you for working on the show. Appreciate that. It's 8:46, and so let's try to get through as much as we can. Trivia about tonight's episode of Fear. It will be the 73rd episode of Fear overall. Co-stars tonight, Stephen Brody plays Young Man, and we've mentioned this character before. They keep changing how they refer to him. I guess just finding vague ways to mention him because they're not revealing his name yet. I imagine his name is a plot point. But at some point in the apocalypse, this man and his companion, who's also a young man, came across a large submarine washed up on the shoreline of Galveston, Texas. After discovering the key to the large vessel was in possession of a man named Walter, they contacted bounty hunter Emile LaRue to track him down and retrieve the key. In the episode, The End is the Beginning, Fear, Season 6, Episode 1. And as we know, Emile found Walter, killed him, took the key. Morgan killed Emile, has the key now, but does not have any idea what he's got. Noah Kyle, K-H-Y-L-E, is the actor, plays Cameron, who's one of Virginia's pioneers, first appeared in Season 6, Episode 2, Welcome to the Club, as well as Justin Smith, who plays Marcus, another pioneer who first appeared in Welcome to the Club. So those are co-stars tonight. Uncredited actors, Carl Thomas plays Pioneer number 3. He has been in 5 prior episodes of Fear, starting with Season 5, Episode 13, Leave What You Don't. Unknown name for the dog actor who plays Rufus, formerly Emile's hunting dog, now with Rachel and Morgan. And I assume when they said that, they mean baby Morgan, since adult Morgan is on the move. Deaths will be TBA. We don't know those in advance. Trivia for tonight. This episode's title is shared with the 12th episode of Season 8 of The Walking Dead Classic, marking the second time that an episode of Fear and an episode of the original series have shared the same title. Joseph Castillo Midyet, who plays Cigarette Man, is upgraded from co-star to also starring in this episode. Despite having lines in this episode, Carl Thomas's character remains uncredited. And Carl Thomas is the actor, again, who plays Pioneer number 3, but that's all he is, and they don't even actually come out and say that. Not sure what's going on. There's been a couple times in all three shows where you have people who do things of significance and lines and plot points who are uncredited, and I don't know what's going on with that. All right, 8:49. Let's go to trivia from last week's episode, Alaska. Co-stars, as we mentioned, Cindy Lemon as Isabel. She was listed as a co-star instead of also starring because the theory is because she only had a voiceover. She technically, quote, wasn't on that episode. Actor Todd Terry plays Lee. Lee is one of the remaining survivors living in the office building where he once worked. He and Nora find Al and Dwight after they emerge from the stairwell on the 5th floor where Lee and his group had been seeking refuge. Uncredited actors from last week. Unknown as Morgan, the infant. Unknown as Pioneer, voice only. Unknown as CRM Ground Command, voice only. Unknown as Randall Perez, the walker with the Arizona license, killed by Al. Unknown as Sullivan Daniels, the walker in the funeral home, licensed from Montana. Unknown as Mark Smith, the walker that Al kills with the license from Alaska, hence the name of the episode. Unknown as Michael Jenkins, and I could not find notes who he was. I think he was another person they collected a license from. Death, last episode. Obviously, Randall Perez, Sullivan Daniels, Mark Smith, and Michael Jenkins, because they were people they took the licenses. 13 other unnamed funeral home survivors and 15 unnamed office workers who are all alive as walkers, basically. Trivia from last week. First appearance of the characters Nora and Lee. First appearance in Fear continuity of Sherry, as in other words, not as a voiceover. First and last appearance of Randall Perez, Sullivan Daniels, Mark Smith, and Michael Jenkins. The title of this episode, Alaska, refers to the game Alan Dwight played that involves finding driver's licenses on walkers from all of the U.S. states, with Alaska being one of the most difficult due to its remoteness. They finally found one on Mark Smith, but decided to give it to Nora so she could remember her friend the way he used to be. Starting with this episode, Christine Evangelista, Sherry, has been added to the opening credits again. Cindy Lemon, Isabel, is downgraded from also starring, as I mentioned this earlier, so these notes are here, likely due to the fact that only her voice is heard. Morgan has once again cut his hair and shaved. I will note here, they didn't ever address his eyes being super red and what was up with that, because he really looked like he had some kind of weirdo walker disease or something wrong with him. So that hasn't been addressed, and he's all cleaned up now, and the redness is gone. Morgan turns his old staff, we did remark about that last week, into the handle for his new axe, effectively combining his two weapons. Al has a chance to go off with Isabel, but changes her mind at the last minute. I think it's a little premature to describe it that that's a certain thing, because we don't know if Isabel would have had a teammate with her or would even be willing to do this, because if she returned in the copter with Al, I think there would probably be a bad thing. They might take Al out from the way Isabel describes it. But that's how they chose to paint it in the notes. Let me go back to reading trivia. It's been suggested that the group with the submarine featured in the end of the beginning was responsible for spreading the bubonic plague that made Nora's group of survivors sick. Dwight and Sherry are finally reunited after all this time. And every person whose driver's license Al and Dwight collect was born on September 24th, with the exception of Sullivan, who was born on March 24th. Kind of weird. Goofs, errors, bloopers from last episode. After clearing out the undead, oh no, this is a note from 2 weeks ago. That's not correct. There actually were no goose bloopers errors noted from last week. Cast birthdays this week. It's 8:53. We've got time real quick. Joan had a couple comments. Let me get those in before we do this. Stealing titles from the original series. She's Fear, Get Your Own Titles. No, I actually don't mind that they share titles, because that's, I know we don't talk about the comic very much, but that is something that was done in the comic where things shared titles and weren't exactly the same. So, you know, I don't mind the little sense of bonding that that provides. That doesn't bother me. It's not like they're really hurting for titles. I actually kind of like that. But Jonah said, oh, come on, Morgan's eyes mysteriously cleared up, no explanation needed. And that's Joan's heavy, sarcastic voice. So anyhow, yeah, Joan's with me. The whole Morgan cleaning up thing, it requires more explanation than they're doing, and we're not sure why they're not doing it. All right, cast birthdays this week. Stephen Ogg, who played Simon, the Savior Lieutenant, November 4th, and he's from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Lindsay Register, who played Laura, a Savior, Simon's replacement. I don't remember if Laura's alive now. November 5th, I don't know the year. And she's from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, so super, super local girl. Nice to know. Seth Gilliam plays Father Gabriel, November 5th, and he's from New York. Merrick Murphy, who played Megan Chambler, Tara's niece, in season 4 of The Governor, November 8th, and she is from Georgia. Let's give them some happy birthday applause. Yay. All All right, 8:55. Let's squeeze in what trivia we can. Featured music from last week, episode 3, song Slow Down by Jesper Munk, J-E-S-P-E-R, space M-U-N-K. I don't know this band. When Dwight and Sherry reunite, that's the song that's playing in the background. Skipping over unaccounted for characters. Skipping over Talking Dead tonight. I did mention it's not back till November 22nd, but that I also literally at the last minute got some new news about that, and it's a little confusing. I will try to find out more this week, and maybe I'll have something cleaned up for you next weekend. Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 lineup, the remainder of the half season. What I Know, Episode 74, or Episode 5, Season 6. Title is Honey. Director is Sharat Raju. Writer is Ashley Cardiff. That will be on November 8th, next weekend. Episode 75, or 6, Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg. Director, Tania McKiernan. Writer is Alex Delisle, and that will be November 15th. Episode 76, or 7, Damage from the Inside. Director is not announced. Writer is Jacob Pinion. That will be November 22nd. Episode 8 is not titled. We don't know who's working on it. We're not certain that it's airing November 29th yet, but I'll tell you what I know when I know it. 8:56, I'm going to start creeping into notes for World Beyond. I do appreciate it, those of you who can stay with us through here and up to World Beyond, which will start at 10. Tonight's episode of World Beyond is Season 1, Episode 5, Madman Across the Water. The synopsis for that is, while the group works together to cross the Mississippi River, a plot to steer the teens back home hits a snag. A member of the group must overcome past trauma to save the others from an approaching threat. And World Beyond, tonight's episode, was written by Rohit Kumar and directed by Dan Liu. And we may have time to do Rohit's bio, but probably not his and Dan's both, because we're about 3 minutes away from the live show. All right, Rohit Kumar has a BS in Computer and Systems Engineering Management from, I don't know how to say this. It's a Dutch name, and I'm going to screw it up. R-E-N-S-S-E-L-A-E-R, Polytechnic Institute. Rensselaer, I don't know. I'll try to look it up while we're off the air. Class of 2010. He currently lives in Los Angeles, California. A computer engineer by education, Kumar gave that all up to work in the glamorous world of Hollywood assistants. That's what it said. Starting out at CAA in a variety of departments, Kumar also worked at Davis Entertainment before ending up as a current creative executive at True Pictures. Actually, that's not even current anymore. He's moved on from that position. This is an older bio. Launchpad alum Rohit Kumar, and Launchpad is an entity that does awards and otherwise supports people coming up in the industry, whose script Grayshore earned the top drama prize in the 2015 Launchpad pilot competition, joined the writing team for season 2 and eventually 3 of the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why. He's also signed with Felicia Prinz, Matthew Doyle, Nicholas Mohebi, and Parker Davis of Verve. Previously, he signed with Good Fear. He is also a writer at Amazon Studios for the upcoming Amazon Prime series, The Wheel of Time. Kumar has been an executive story editor for The World Beyond for all of season 1. Tonight is his first time writing an episode of the show. And it's 8:59, so I'm going to pause here, and I'll do Dan's bio during the commercial break. And I'm going to pause now and go dark, and I'll see you guys at the commercial break time. Thanks. Okay, guys, it's 9:06, and we are at the first commercial break, and I'm going to start with 5. And Joan actually did what I considered and started with a 4.5. You know, I like John Dory, the character, but this narrative and everything going on, I can't stand Virginia. I can't stand her Rangers. I don't know why the fuck any of these people take orders from her. She is not a leader. She's a bully and kind of an asshole. And I don't understand why this works. You know, we did this dance with the governor and he got killed. We did this dance with Negan and he got converted. Otherwise he probably would have gotten killed. And it just, this formula doesn't work for very long and they're making it work and I don't like it. Joan had mentioned, the first episode of the season was decent, but the last two are not impressing her. Am I watching a zombie apocalypse or a Disney movie? Yeah, it's starting to kind of feel like it's one of those movies they would bring out the projector when we were kids and everybody get excited. Oh my God. Anyhow, let me go back to a couple of comments Joan had made. We were fussing about Morgan's eyes and Joan brought a further point along that whole thing. So there's more than just Morgan's eyes that need explaining. If he truly had even the beginnings of gangrene and enough to smell like a walker and pass for a walker, that just doesn't clear up with a little ointment and removing the bullet. And I know that I was pretty sure that they managed to get him antibiotics of some sort, but nevertheless, it is way too expedient of clearing that up. So I think Joan and I are in agreement that we're already starting to fear with some plot device holes. And here is a trailer for stuff for World Beyond. So this may not be a very long break. I'm kind of looking here to see. It's kind of a long trailer, so I'm not sure what's going on. All new next. I expect us to go back. And we are back, so I'll hush, and I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, guys. It's 9:19. We are at the second break. Barely inching up to 5.25, and Jonah's staying at 4.5 until John stops drinking the Kool-Aid. You have to remember what kind of personality John Dory has established in this mythos. He's the kind of guy who would drink the Kool-Aid, but it's more than that. It's like he really is that insistently hopeful. It's like a life force with him. Let me go back and grab some extra comments here. Jonah said, even with antibiotics, gangrene means that flesh died. If it was a limb, it would be amputated. Antibiotics can't resurrect dead flesh, last I checked. So back to the plot hole. And I very much appreciate that Jonah is sticking with it to be supportive and come hang out with us in spite of the fact that right now the fierce showrunners are really egregiously messing things up. And I kind of feel like they're just treading water to get all of this through to some grand reunion of the franchise. I really kind of feel like that's coming, and that's the only reason that half this stuff is still here, in spite of its weirdness. I had also remarked, you know, I don't dare assume that anybody who's super important to the franchise listens to my show, you know, because I'm just hanging out here. But maybe word of what I'm fussing at and pointing at will creep up there. We'll see. All right. Let me go back to my notes on World Beyond, and let's go ahead and try to get some of that done because, as you guys know, we don't have a break in between the two shows. So this is all the time I've got to discuss it. We were doing writers and directors profiles, a director's profile, Dan Liu. Dan is from Millbrae, California, near San Francisco, and graduated from Mills High School there in 2000. He attended the University of California, Davis, 2000 to 2002, and then switched to NYU, where he got a BFA in film production in 2006. He worked for award-winning creative agency Empire Design in London from 2007 to 2010. He currently lives in L.A. Liu was an editor for all four episodes of the Walking Dead webisode series Cold Storage in 2012, where a random guy in Atlanta named Chase just so happens upon Rick Grimes' old storage locker. And you can still watch these episodes somewhere on AMC.com. They've got the websites buried on there, and you can go see it. Dan was part of the editorial department for Walking Dead back to season 2, episode 1, What Lies Ahead, and 12 other episodes up to 2014, plus helping with Heart Still Beating, Season 7, Episode 8. He has editor's credit for 28 episodes of The Walking Dead so far, the last being Season 9, Episode 15, The Calm Before. Lou has directed so far 3 prior episodes of Walking Dead and 2 of Fear. He directed Season 8, Episode 4, Some Guy, Season 9, Episode 3, Warning Signs, and Season 10, Episode 6. Oh, no, see, I have that listed as Warning Signs as well. Okay, Season 9, Episode 3, and Season 10, Episode 6. I've gotten the title screwed up. I apologize. For Fear, he directed Season 4, Episode 3, Good Out Here, and Season 5, Episode 9, Channel 4. Tonight's episode will be his 6th directing anything in the Walking Dead franchise. All right. And let's give them some quick applause for working on the show. Yay, thank you. World Beyond trivia notes for tonight. Co-stars Roger Dale Floyd as a young Elton Ortiz, and Elton is the kid in the group who has all the plaid and looks kind of dorky and like he should grow up to be Doctor Who. So apparently they're playing him as very, very young tonight, and that's Roger Dale Floyd. Uncredited Samantha Lorraine as young Hope Bennett in archival footage. Death's TBA, of course. First appearance of the character Percy, played by Ted Sutherland. I do not believe he is related to Kiefer, Donald, or the lady who played Buffy's mom. I want to say Christine, but I don't think that's right. Maybe that's something you can look up for me, Joan. Who's the actress who played Buffy's mom? First appearance of Isaac Ortiz in a flashback. And we're back now, so I'll shut up. I'll see you guys at break number 3. Okay, guys, it's 9:32, and we are at break number 3. Joan is creeping your score up to 5. I'm going to go to 5.5. Kind of a little more pleased with progressing in the last little snip there. But it's an effort here. Joan is with me on that. We are both, we've been over Jenny, and Joan's like, oh, just someone kill this woman already. Yet, you know, I'm tired of implausible and unnecessary villains. And I know people have turned to me when I've said these things and said, kind of look at real life right now. There are people in charge of quite a few things. And you think, how in the hell can they be in charge when they do this and they do that? And why does any idiot listen to them? And I agree, that's a valid point, that there's a lot of that going on. I don't understand it in real life either, so I don't care for it as a plot point. So that it only tells me that people do it, but it still doesn't help me get it. And I don't know what to do with that. Joan has said, I like that John is still pushing forward with the investigation, but he still seems too trusting in the system that Jenny's in charge of. You know, I don't know that John is purely trusting as much as I think he lacks guile. And I think he knows when something smells bad, even if he doesn't focus on it or completely give up. I'm having trouble articulating the distinction. But John has a way about him that is kind of simple, but he doesn't always necessarily miss things. So, you know, I'm not quite sure what to do with that. All right, it's 9:34, and we were in trivia for World Beyond at 10. So this is from last week, uncredited actors last week. S.J. Ovaska played Samuel Abbott. Diego Abraham was Teen Kid number 1, archive footage, voice only. And Jordan Shirley was Teen Kid number 2, same. Death last week, Sabina James, who was the high schooler trapped in the bomb shelter. Samuel Abbott, the doctor from Oregon, he's a walker, and Lila is experimenting on him. Mr. Plaskett, who was Silas's dad. Silas killed him earlier, and that was confirmed. Huck's father, confirmed fate. I'm unclear if he was a walker, if he just died. I can't remember anymore. I don't know. Joan, if you remember. Several unnamed HVASS high school survivors and numerous Civic Republic test subjects alive, confirmed fate. It's 9:35, Godfather Marathon Tuesday, and trailer for World Beyond. Let me read some more real quick. Trivia, first appearance of the character Lila Belshaw, who was the experimenter in the post episode, little snip in the back. First and last appearance of Sabina James, Samuel Abbott, Mikey Brown, and Ashley Peters, who first two were walkers, the last two were in a photograph. We're going back now. I'll see you guys at break number four. Okay, guys. It is 9:43. We're at break number four. I'm at 5:75. Joan is staying at 5. I'm really reluctant to even do that much. I'm so angry at this character confessing, because I don't understand why these people feel the need to obey Jenny. They could en masse tell her no, and they don't. And I cannot understand what she can do about it that doesn't involve other people having to help her do it. And if they told her no, she couldn't do anything about it. I don't understand this. It's not like she's Negan. I can understand why people might listen to him. He's got quite a bit of power on his own volition there. All right. So we're at 9:43. Let me continue trivia notes for World Beyond. So... we're in last week's trivia. Excuse me. Last week was the first episode of World Beyond, and to my knowledge, unless Joan, you remember otherwise, to my knowledge, this is the first time they've done this in the Walking Dead universe, had a post-credit scene, you know, kind of like watching a Marvel movie. So in this episode, it's the first one that's contained a post-credit scene. It was in this scene that finally revealed what happened to claimed survivors designated as A for the Civic Republic? Remember, you know, what Jadis or Anne was talking about. Those designated with A are individuals who are alive but infected and used to study the infection for a possible cure. This is supported by Anne's attempt to have Rick Grimes, Negan, and Gabriel Stokes bitten by a restrained walker shortly before being picked up by the helicopter. In last week's episode, no music was identified as particularly special. The rest of season one, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, these don't line up exactly right. So season one is much shorter and doesn't line up with the 8 and 8 that we typically do. So episode 6 is Shadow Puppets. Writer is Maya Goldsmith. Director Michael Cutlets, who played Abraham. November 8th, episode 7, Truth or Dare. Writer is Eddie Gazalian. Director is listed as Michael Cutlets. I need to go clean that up for you guys. Sorry about that. I don't know which one of those he's actually directing, so I'll try to find out. That's November 15th. Number 8, The Sky is a Graveyard. Writer is Elizabeth Padden. Director is Lauren Iaconelli. November 22nd. Episode 9, The Deepest Cut. A director and writer have not been announced. November 29th, Thanksgiving weekend. And episode 10, In This Life. Writer is Matt Negrete, and Magnus Martins is the director, and that's December 6th. So we are not back yet. I will continue. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media that you should check out include Tuesday, the 3rd of November, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Election Night in America. Join our live coverage of Election Night in America with Rogelio, Roger Noriega, and Peter J. Villacorta, and follow-up coverage in part two, starting at 11 p.m. It's because the way the board's set up, that's the longest that we can make a show. So we had to divide it into two parts. We still got a minute, so I will keep going. Thursday, November 5th, at 8 p.m. Travel Itch Radio. It won't open until 2024, but the National Medal of Honor Museum began creating national headlines during the World Series, which it sponsored. Now it will be featured on Travel Itch Radio during the annual Veterans Day show. A few days early, but that's okay. Dan Schlossberg and co-host Mary Ellen Nugent Lee identify the prominent Americans, including sports teams owners and Medal of Honor winners, behind the Arlington, Texas project. And we are back. I'll see you guys at break number five. Okay, guys, it's 9:53, and we are at a commercial break. Joe's getting aggravated. She's at five, and she doesn't want to do bad form and move down, so she's staying at her five. And Jonas said, you know, I'm not even sure we could get the attention of anyone important to this show that it would matter. There's plenty of commentary I saw last season online, and the showrunners didn't give a damn about any of it. You know, sadly, I'm not sure you're wrong. I promised you guys that I would stick this out so we could do this with these shows. And I know, Joan, that you were really ready to step out the door with fear and that mostly you're staying for the sake of World Beyond. And I get that and I appreciate that. I'm just acknowledging that this really is quite a bit of Herculean effort to put up with. Joan has also said that she thinks I'm correct in my assertion that nowhere in the franchise has Walking Dead done a thing where they had a post-credit scene before, you know, Marvel style. So that was kind of neat. And she's getting irritated with the last scene. So let's go down and finish off the trivia. We had a couple more shows coming up on NDB Media for you guys to check out. Saturday the 7th, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Sports Talk with the Guys, Saturday Morning Extravaganza. I'm not going to read you the whole blurb. I've done that a bunch of times. Same thing. And Saturday afternoon, a new thing. Well, not a new thing, but a returning thing that hasn't been for a while. At 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Jeff Trek returns with Captain Jeff Returns and guest co-host Admiral Roger Noriega. And they will be doing that all Saturday afternoon on the 7th. So feel free to check that out. And anything else going on? Looking at the commercials. Oh, yes, Mandalorian is back on. Yay! So that is the end of my notes, and we've gotten these done just in time for World Beyond. So that is all I need to read to you guys. Let me see. Jonah's not anything else to say. So we're kind of just on this cliffhanger of wanting to bop John Dory in the head and getting mad at Jenny and getting mad at this girl that is confessing and about to be put to death. And the whole thing is getting super sappy. I know you guys are probably feeling our pain. This series is really struggling. And I suspect they have it all set up to go together. And it's too much work to do major things to fix it and have it all come together without having continuity problems, because they already obviously have them with Morgan. So anyhow, I'm not sure how to resurrect that. But we are just waiting for the last little commercial bit, and then we will go to World Beyond. Pardon my cough. I have actually been somewhat disappointed in World Beyond as well. I was excited that they filmed a lot of it in Richmond, and I had hoped it would take place in Richmond, and that would be a plot point. I'm not a big fan of the fact that it's all the way across the country, and everybody is magically coming to the same place because they just so happen to be. That kind of crap irritates me really bad because there's no reason for it. So I don't know what to do with that. But anyway, mostly I'm killing time until we go back with the commercial thing, which should be soon. Talking Dead, Chris Hardwick is on here saying something. Ad-free early access on AMC Plus. If you go to AMCPlus.com, you can see Talking Dead. I'll check that out and let you guys know. We're back. See you guys at the end. Okay, guys, it's 10:03. We're about to flip over in a World Beyond. Joan, last left off staying at her five, but she's so aggravated she doesn't even feel like scoring and putting in her five for right now. And I'm not going to say I blame her. I'm just irritated with the whole way that Fear is going again. We kind of redeemed it for the first couple episodes of season 6, but now it's back to what the fuck. So John, Dory, and Strand are fighting about how they handled this whole thing with Janice. And I want to see one of these scenarios where someone just assassinates the leader and be done. Because I'm pretty certain that nearly everyone who's loyal to her is loyal to her for the same reason that these guys went ahead and accepted a badge. Like, there wasn't an alternative that was really viable. But if she's gone, you have all the alternatives. So, all right. Joan has said she's hoping something better happens on World Beyond tonight, like maybe finding out what happened back at the campus so they know there's nothing to go back to, even if Felix and Huck Talkman are going back. Now, remember, they did say on the description of tonight's synopsis that there is a plot to try to take the kids back and something thwarts it. So maybe this is it. Or, and she says, or at the very least, maybe Elton can find out that Hope is the one that killed his mom. Well, there you go. Hold on. I've missed something, Joan. How did I miss Elton? Hope is the one that killed his mom. Can you tell me about that? Because I don't remember that plot point. But sometimes when the show's on, I'm juggling things, so I miss them. And Jonah said, yeah, you know, the fact that Negan took out Alpha was more redeeming than anything else he ever did. A true villain, but also a true leader. Yeah, so Jonah's agreeing with what I had said earlier. At least we understand why people would follow someone like Negan. You know, there's something more to it. But some of these other leaders are just like, why in the hell? I kind of still had a why in the hell about Alpha, to be honest with you. She had some of the same problem that Ginny did, but she was a more powerful personality. Ginny's just a fucking whiner. I mean, I just want to shoot that whining out of her mouth. Sorry, not sorry. Watching Snoop and Martha with their Tostitos and guacamole salsa. I'm not a guacamole person. That kind of looks like a walker got a hold of it. Braid. All right. There's a cute gingerbread house. It kind of looks like the house that Strand was in before they left California. Oops. Audi commercial put his hand in it. All right. So that's where Joan and I are. And after this break is over, we're probably going to go segue right into World Beyond, it looks like. And then so we'll watch that together. We do not have another show following, so I will stay for the whole time pretty much tonight. Jonah said maybe he got the sisters mixed up, but the pregnant woman that shot – okay. Jonah's pointed out a plot point, and I missed this. Maybe you guys didn't miss it, but I did. The pregnant woman that shot the girl's mom and then in turn was shot by the little girl was Elton's mom and his baby sister in the womb. Elton had a pic of his mom that we saw briefly. Okay, yeah, that is something that I definitely missed. Well, we are back, so I'm going to go mute, and I'll see you guys at the end of the episode in a couple minutes. Okay, guys, it's 10:19. We are at the first commercial break of The Walking Dead World Beyond. And, oh, my God, these kids are boring me to death. It's like watching season one of Fear, except less heroin. So I'm at a 5. Joan's at a 5. And we're just, like, barely doing it. Okay. So Joan has confirmed in the first scene, reconfirmed that Elton has a picture of his mom as the same lady that was shot on the day this guy fell. We also, by the way, ended both on a 6 for the previous, for Fear, only because of the last thing with Morgan and that whole key plot line. At least that's somewhat interesting. I'm dying to know what's up with that abandoned submarine. And now the two guys who knew about it are gone. Because they were sassy and they told Morgan that, oh, yeah, right, you're going to hurt us. Well, that was stupid. You know how that ends. So anyhow, I have covered the trivia and the information for this episode tonight, so I don't need to do that now. So Joan and I are kind of talking. Joan agrees, throw something dangerous or different at these kids already. I kind of just want to see more. You went through the trouble to create a society where the kids basically grew up in the apocalypse, and I want to know how they're different from the Judiths and Carls of the world, because there should be something about them when they didn't grow up in the previous society. And the only reason I care about this is because I have an affinity for Richmond, where it was shot, and because I was interested in the post-apocalyptic culture. Because otherwise, why the hell do we need to see fear again? All right, we're back. I'll shut up. See you guys at break number two. Okay, it's 10:29. Let's go ahead and get those scores in there. Yeah, Joan is like, yup, still five. Really am. There, guys, this series was interesting because it was a generation that did not grow up with walkers, that grew up with only walkers and didn't have the normal society. You're not taking advantage of that setup. And I still really object to it being set so damn far away and magically forcing Captain Tryhard to have an excuse to go to the rendezvous where everyone is in upstate New York, something, something mid-Atlantic. This is so ham-fisted. And, you know, my creativity is not what it was for health reasons, but I still think I have some valid points that they ought to be doing something with. And Joan has concurred with my conclusions. I know it's just two of us, but, you know, still, there's nonsense going on. And I don't know what to do with the nonsense. I'm really trying hard to give the show a chance. And I just don't know what to do. Joan, can we just, like, make them let us start over? I think you and I should go and help the writers. And you know what? The individual writers is probably not their fault. But people come up with, like, what we're going to work on here. It's the showrunners, and I need to pop them in the stupid mouth. They've really just made such a mess, and I don't even know what to do with it. There's a scary Liberty Mutual commercial on right now. It's like out of a 70s porno, and I'm mildly frightened. Okay, I don't know what this scary crap is because I have it muted so that you guys don't have my TV going through the microphone. But yeah, so Liberty Mutual and scary people in the elevator. All right, we have a trailer for, I guess, the movie Twister, looks like. And that was an interesting movie. And I'm a big fan of Bill Paxton, so yeah, there we go. All right, so Twister's on Monday, 7:30. Soulmates, Monday at 10. Now we have an Apple original film with Bill Murray in it. And that's kind of cool. I like Bill Murray. But I'm kind of irritated with Apple after what they did with The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. But that is not related to The Walking Dead, so I'm not going to get into that too much. But apparently it's a cute little comedy, and it's original to Apple, so I guess nobody else is going to have it. And we like Bill. And, you know, since Zombieland, he's kind of not been doing a whole lot of other stuff. And so now we have a Twix commercial. God. Okay. Joan has said, yeah, Joan is in. We need to disappear the showrunners and take over. Yeah, you know, I do realize I don't have experience being a showrunner, but that doesn't excuse what the hell is going on here. And I really think that we need them to listen to some of the things that we've been saying that are not right with this show. And, you know, I don't know about the rest of your friends, but I have a crap ton of friends who are actors and writers and LARP storytellers and all these creative people who create stories and force things to work together. And I've even done some of that. And we should be able to make this work better than what it's doing. And I really don't know of any excuses why this is such a damn struggle, because this franchise is strong and has possibilities. All right, we're back so I can stop fussing. I'll see you guys at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 10:43, and we need to do some scoring, and 5-2-5, and just barely reluctantly. And Joan is in the same place, and we're just fussing. It's the same thing I said in the last segment. There are things that they did to set this entire scenario up that made it different, that made it useful, and they're pissing it all away. Joan has said, I would expect kids that grew up in a world full of walkers to maybe be a little less shocked by the dead walking around, but still have some skills with dealing with them. Instead, the adults created a world where they could shelter and try to create the world to be like it was before. Gag. And then she says, show running, how hard could it be? Famous last words. Yeah. And I said, you know, I don't know why the adults were so dumb as to coddle the kids. Because it kind of seems like the types of people who would survive an apocalypse, this is not necessarily a world, despite people's fantasies, where prepper types would necessarily survive. Just some inherent personality flaws that would make this all a problem. But having said that, the kinds of people that would have made it this far are really not the types that would have tried to have the kids pretend nothing had changed, you know? So Joan had said, well, apparently people are stupid in that world too, yeah? And she had said, I wish I would just go back and see the destruction so they could then get on whatever journey they're trying to be on. I sort of assumed that the destruction of the Nebraska University campus was what derailed them going back tonight, but maybe that's not it, because I don't know if they have a way to even know about that, you know, since we're not exactly in cell phone land or anything like that. So, alrighty. Back to Snoop and Martha again. These two always crack me up. I talk about yin and yang and opposites attract, but apparently they're really buds. No pun intended. I realize what I just did. Sorry. Anyhow, I really just, I'm at a loss with this show because we came to give it a chance and we were getting aggravated with fear, and it's becoming problematic in the same way that fear got problematic. And we really just don't even know how that could be fixed at this point. It's very difficult to figure that out. All right, we have Tide Pods, delicious Tide Pods with candy-colored stuff. I don't even know with that commercial. Let's see if Joan has something to say in the chat room. Nope, she's... Oh, yes, here we go. She said, none of them were anywhere near the campus when the massacre happened, so they don't know there's something to go back to. And she wishes they would just find out and move on already. No, I completely agree with you. I just can't think of any way that that can happen other than to make them go back, because how else would they find out? This is a world where something like that's way too difficult. So I really don't know what to do with it. But let's see. We got Google Nest Hub things on a tablet in the kitchen and Internet of Things, which you guys should know I'm not a fan of because super hackable. But apparently there's a commercial for it, and they encourage that sort of thing. Not sure what to do. Breakfast at Wendy's, la la la. Okay. Sorry, I really don't have a whole lot more to say about it that we haven't already said. By the way, it's 10:47. At the rate things are going, since this episode did not start until well after 10, I am probably going to end up having to wrap the show before the actual episode is over. Excuse me. Sorry. Joan has made another comment. Well, maybe the boat they're building will malfunction and take them back the way Huck originally got there, up the Missouri or something like that. Geography is not my strong suit. I'm unclear where they are now exactly. And the boat they're building seems off whack to me. But we are back, so I can stop fussing. And I'll see you guys at the next break, but it might be my last. Okay, guys, it's 10:52. I've only got 7 minutes left on the show segment, but the actual TV show is not done yet, so I am probably going to wrap it up after this. But let's get Joan's comments out here, and I am going to stay at 525. I'm kind of just, yeah, Joan's same place. She had mentioned... Oh, just ruh-roh. Okay, everything else is later. I'm getting aggravated with Felix because if he's got CRM equipment and stuff, he's trained by them. Why is he so intimidated by four walkers? I mean, Alicia and a made-up knife could take out three times that. This is really killing me with this series. So Joan and I are both at 5.25. Jonah said, looks like happy hour is over at Dockery Town. Yes, it certainly does. But other than that, I really don't know what to say with the rest of this that we haven't already said. And I don't have anything I can do about it. So all I can do is be thankful that you guys are staying with us and watching the show together and trying to give this a chance and trying to give our franchise some love. Even though it's being really fickle and not loving up on us either. There's something on the TV that I don't really understand right now. Simple, easy, awesome. What is this? I don't even know. Oh, it Xfinity moving commercial. I don't really understand. Anyway, Jonah said Alicia and a made-up knife did take out many times that. Hell, Judas could take them out without breaking a sweat. Yes, exactly. And that it just seems like the only people in this part of the world who behave as they should given their background and their ability are the actual CRM officers. You know, they act like they've had the training to deal with this crap. But everybody else is just kind of acting like, ah, zombie, whatever. It's as if none of them have had training. None of them spent the last almost 10 years in this world. I don't know how they made it this long. I don't know how they had that idyllic college campus atmosphere, how it didn't just disappear at this point with how everybody's acting. I really don't get it. Okay, HBO Max on AT&T, la la la. And HBO Max, I'm mad at you too, by the way. But that, again, is a not Walking Dead rant, so we'll save that for another time. Just a little salty at them because they're not compatible with my cable company. So, anyhow, when we go back to mute, I will probably log off because I've only got a few minutes left on here. But I appreciate you guys sticking it out with me and watching the show together. And we will be here next week, even if I'm aggravated with them. I did promise I would stay and do this. So much love. And Jeep commercials and fun. And Joan talking. Let's see if Joan has anything else to say. No, not since Alicia. Okay, so Joan, thank you very much for sticking it out with me. Thank you to the rest of you guys. I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up because it's just about that time, and there's no sense in me trying to kill time under this. So anyway, I will see you guys next weekend, and happy day to the dead, so to speak. Take care.